Today's readings give us a great contrast between the ways of the world and the ways of God. The world, represented by John and James here, the sons of Zebedee, seeks power, seeks glory, wants to be in charge and in control. And God comes in weakness, just the opposite. God did not come to save the world with an army of angels, to impose his will on us, to force people to love him and to follow his will. God came to us in weakness, as a tiny little baby, in need of love, in need of care. And like us, he grew and shared sufferings. As the man of sufferings, he was nailed to a cross and even shared our death. And through that great weakness of even confronting our death and sharing our death, through that, God saved the world. This is the power of love. This is the way of love. And St. Paul, in our first reading, shows us that he too follows the example of Jesus, saying that he and other Christians are earthen vessels. I like to say we are cracked pots. And the idea is that it's not through our great power or success, the things that we do, but it's through God's power and grace at work within us, shining through us, even through our weakness and frailty. It's in that way that God continues to save the world and to draw people to himself. So we too, even though we may feel weak and insignificant, God says, that's good, because through your weakness, through your hiddenness, my power will be at work. We too are called to be apostles, like James and John and the others, and to be servants. During World Youth Day now, Pope Francis is reflecting on the theme, go and make disciples of all nations. And we might ask, well, how can I be an apostle sent to make disciples of all nations? Here I am, weak, perhaps confined to this building, confined to a wheelchair, confined perhaps to my bed. How can I go? Our hearts can go. When our hearts are united to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, our hearts go out to the whole world, and our prayers follow, praying and offering ourselves, and especially our sufferings, our weakness, for the salvation of all people, all souls. And in that way, we can be apostles. We can be apostles of prayer. The apostleship of prayer was started in 1844 in a Jesuit seminary in France. The Jesuit seminarians had just read letters that other Jesuits who were active missionaries starting a mission in India had written back. And they talked about all the great things they were accomplishing on the missions, how they were preaching the gospel and people were asking to be baptized and communities, parishes were being formed and schools were started. And these Jesuit seminarians studying philosophy and theology got very excited. And they began to neglect their studies, spending time in the library instead reading about India, where they hoped to go. And they started complaining, saying, what are we doing here, wasting our time? What does this philosophy have to do with anything important? We should be out there right now. And so on December 3rd, 1844, their spiritual director, director got them all together and said, now look, any good that is accomplished by the church is a spiritual fruit, and it needs to be watered by spiritual means. And you have those means at your disposal right now. Don't wait to be an apostle. Be an apostle of prayer. And make an offering of your whole day with its prayers, its tasks, its works, the studies that you have, your homework, your sufferings, the headaches you get trying to understand this philosophy in Latin, and the difficulties you have trying to live with one another in community. Make an offering of that all. And in that way, you will be watering the work of the church and the growth of the church, and it will bear fruit. The idea caught on and spread. And in 1885, a 12-year-old girl by the name of Thérèse Martin enrolled in the Apostleship of Prayer. We know her today as Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus in the Holy Face, the little flower. When she was 12 years old, she enrolled in the Apostleship of Prayer. And though she spent her whole adolescence from the age of 15 and into young adulthood to the age of 24, before she died, she spent that time in a convent, a Carmelite convent, cloistered, never leaving to be a missionary. She became a missionary by offering her prayers, her works, her joys, and her sufferings for the spread of the gospel. And so the church has called her the second patron saint of the missions and of missionaries. You too are missionaries, because you can make an offering of yourself and each moment of your day for the salvation of souls, for the spread of the gospel. And in that way, you will be drinking the chalice that Jesus promised John and James that they would drink. And by drinking that chalice of God's will in your life at this time, you will be assured that you too will follow Jesus and the apostles into the glory of heaven.